Writer, producer, and musician Serge Bromberg has become one of the most significant figures in film preservation through his work with Lobster Films and other companies. Well, tonight at 7, he's presenting a program of the most obscure and exciting movies you will ever see for the Film Society of Lincoln Center at their Walter Reed Theater on 65th Street. It's called Saved from the Flame, New Milliers, Discoveries and Other Surprises. Serge, bonjour.
Hi, bonjour.
I like that French accent.
Yeah, I can't hide it. I'm French. yes, you know, today's presentation is not a lecture. It's really a show, and it's an amazing show for people who like to be surprised, discover new horizons. Like, you know, you go to see an exhibition of paintings or anything like this. Well, my life is about this. I'm trying to locate films, classic films, old films. You know, half of the films shot in the history of cinema are lost.
Half of all of them
have not been preserved. And you know, that's why we have the archives and the cinematheques and the collectors around the world. And still, there's so many, I mean, thousands, hundreds of thousands of films that are lost. And they may be in somebody's garage or attic or basement. You can find them on flea markets or eBay or whatever. So I spend my life looking for films, gathering films, and every once in a while, about once a year, I come here in New York and other places, and I do like a presentation, a show, sharing my enthusiasm for the best films that I found in those searches. And it's really like a treasure trove.
How long are these films? By the way, if you're listening, you want to know more about this, you can go to our webpage, wnyc.org/midday, to find out ticket information and all that. Meanwhile, so Serge, how long are these films typically?
Well, you know, at the beginning of cinema, a show was about 40 minutes, and it was a compilation of short films from 1 minute to, let's say, 20. The films that we're going to see today, it's a show of about a bit like 2 hours, will be from 7 seconds, for the shortest, 1900, up to 18 or 19 minutes. And inside that, you will have a lost Stan Laurel solo comedy before the team with Oliver Hardy. You may remember or know that Stan Laurel was a pal of Charlie Chaplin in London, and they both went to America. Chaplin had a cinema career, and Laurel was the understudy of Chaplin, so he stayed on stage and eventually went to cinema 5 or 6 years later. So we have one of those ultra rare films that was found in Holland. We have, well, you know, we could name an endless list of what we're going to see today, but it's like a treasure trove. I literally open every film with how I've discovered them or what makes them so special and what's so unusual about them.
What does it tell us about us and our evolving media culture, these older films?
Well, first of all, it tells us that the old films were never meant to be old. They were films, you know, even like the silent films were never meant to be silent. The name silent film appeared when they invented sound cinema in the mid-20s. But before that, people would gather and crowd to go to the cinema just to see films, and they found them absolutely amazing. Now today, you see special effects galore and fast music and everything, entertaining stuff. But when you watch those classic films, of course, the language is not exactly the same. The technology was not the same. But at the end of the day, the amazement is even bigger. That's what people tell me. At the end of the show, a woman came to me and said, "At last, something new in cinema."
Something new.
Yeah, and we had seen films like up to the mid-20s. But let me tell you of an amazing discovery. You know Méliès, the Georges Méliès.
Yes.
If you've seen Hugo, it deals about Méliès, the Scorsese film. Georges Méliès has destroyed his own films in 1923. And so the Méliès films are ultra rare. We just discovered one called Robinson Crusoe, and it'll be the New York premiere of the film, actually the world's second screening ever of that film since 1902.
Since
1902. That's 6 years after cinema was invented. That's 116 years ago. And guess what? The film is supposed to have sound in a very tricky way, but it's supposed to have sound, and it's in color, when everyone would believe that at the time cinema was obscure, dull, with lines and an awful image. And so that shows you that every time I open a can of film, it's a new amazement, or not. You know, sometimes, let's say 95% of the time, what I find is useless. So those, I stay on the side. But
so when you say something is useless, what does it mean?
Well, not useless, but boring, or we don't know the faces. You know, they were stars of the day, but they are forgotten, and not today, they are just like anyone. So things that, let's say they have lost their power of amazement. You know, people today will not be amazed at watching them. But for the 5 or 10% of spectacular or masterpieces or what, or funny stuff. Today you'll have Buster Keaton in a film that you've never seen. You'll have Laurel and Hardy in a film that you've never seen. But there's even something more special about the show today. Usually, you know, I show films of different genres. But this time, I made a bizarre discovery. Méliès, when he started doing film, was pirated. A pirate in America stole The Trip to the Moon, his most famous film. So from that moment on, he decided to design a special camera with two lenses side by side and two mechanisms. One of the negatives would go to America and the other negative would stay in Europe. Well, that's how it happened for about 3 or 4 years.
But what did that do? How did that prevent piracy?
No, that's because it would be the same day release in the entire world. So the pirates wouldn't have time to duplicate the film and make their own marketing. But what is so stunning is that by doing this without knowing it and without having any intention to do it, Georges Méliès actually shot his films in stereoscopic 3D.
Did he?
Yes. So today we are going to watch Georges Méliès films of 1901, 1903, and 1906 in stereoscopic 3D. And it is not artificial 3D. It's exactly what happened in the camera of Georges Méliès without him knowing it.
Are you going to use glasses? How do you actually perceive that?
Well, yes, we're going to have glasses, of course. So people will watch that. But, you know, starting from that discovery, we thought, well, would there have been other like major steps of stereoscopic 3D before? Did anyone, although the history tells us that the stereoscopic 3D started at the end of the 20s, is it possible for animated film, you know, there were stereo viewers for still photography, is it possible that someone, even before Méliès, attempting to achieve stereoscopic 3D, actually managed to do it and everyone has forgotten?
It seems like a time machine.
Well, you know what? We found four little films that we will show today, shot in 1900. Even before, even more bizarre. You've heard of The Entrance of a Train in a Station by Louis Lumière?
Yes.
That's one of the most famous films. Well, today we are going to show The Entrance of a Train in a Station, shot by Louis Lumière in its original stereoscopic 3D.
If you are just joining me, I'm talking to Serge Bromberg, film preservationist, about his traveling show Saved from the Flame. New Méliès discoveries and other surprises. That's tonight at 7 at the Film Society of Lincoln Center. It's Walter Reed Theater on West 65th Street. And if you want more information about tickets, you can go to our website, wnyc.org/midday. So how long is this film? Is it a 7-seconder? Is it a minute?
You mean which one? The Entrance of a Train is about a minute. But, you know, what I want you to understand is that the show of today is basically sharing the discovery of of what we find. We open a can. It's amazing. So that's step one. Step two is, where am I going to share that discovery, and whom am I to share that discovery with? And that's what has been going on for 25 years. I've been doing those shows for 25 years, and every time the films change every time. Every time it's the same enthusiasm. It's the same, what's next? You know, like boxes at Christmas, in the Christmas tree. Let's get to move to another of those films, and another, and another, and you wish it that it would never end. It's a time machine, you're right. But it's also, you know, if we go back in time, then we get younger. We forget of everything that is our references today, like instant television. We turn on, our cell phones and everything. We are into the magic of the show.
Serge, there's so much magic to the show, and I get how all of this is sort of a time machine going back in time. But when you go back in time, the norms were not the same. Are some of these films potentially offensive to people? I know that some of these directors use blackface, which may
of course.
Be quite
well,
offensive
well,
to people.
Of course, when you find films, you find all the films. You could find porn films, you can find offensive films. I don't show them, of course. But also, there are films that may be offensive per today's standards, but were not in the old days. For example, Georges Méliès in Robinson Crusoe, you see him like, oh, well, the savages, tribes, and he takes his gun and shoots them one by one. Mm. Oh, well, it's like Western, you know, in the Western of John Wayne, you would have John Wayne taking a gun and shooting the Indians. Well, there's nothing offensive here. That's part of what the imagery was. So, of course, the real offensive things we will never show. That's not at all what we do. But it's true. I mean, what people believed in, what they, the way they thought, was completely different. It's a travel in time. It has good sides and it has some bad sides. The awful sides I just let alone and try not to revive.
Now, I hear you've been going all around the United States with your films recently. Where have you been and what's been the response?
Well, you know, I've been doing these shows in the entire world, India, China, Europe, America, all around America. It's always the same response. You know, we get back to the DNA of what we are inside. And wherever in the world, people are just amazed. And truly, much more amazed by these films that are a century old than they would be by the latest film that they're going to see in the next multiplex and forget in a week. What you will see tonight, you will never forget.
Fascinating. Now, in your previous visits, you highlighted one particular film starring a giant pig. Will that film be returning?
No, it will not be. Well, that's one of these ideas, offensive or not offensive. It's a film called The Dancing Pig. Everyone wants it. Okay, it won't be here today. But The Dancing Pig is a man dressed up as a pig dancing with a little girl in a dancing suit. And people watch this and say, it's the most bizarre, intriguing. We don't know what they are doing. Well, it's a vaudeville stage play that was done in 1906. And even today, when you watch the film, it's hilarious, absolutely hilarious. Now, we laugh for what we see. Did the people at the time laugh for the same thing? Did they even laugh? What did they understand? We don't know. Well, today is today, and it's today that the show takes place.
So are there still discoveries to be made?
Well, you know what my best discovery is?
Hmm?
The next one. So please, if someone has films, really, truly, I it's not a joke. Half of the films have disappeared. Maybe someone who's listening now has films in his basement and believes that they will last forever and that he'll give them to his grandson or whatever. Go to an archive. Come to me tonight at the Walter Reed. It's really important because you may have the lost film by Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, the Marx Brothers, Jean Renoir, Friedrich Murnau. I mean, all the major directors, even today, have lost films. And they may be in your drawer. Who knows? So the search continues.
The search continues. So if you want more information about the show, you can go to our website, wnyc.org/midday. Thank you so much for joining us.
See you tonight.
All right, I'm Duarte Geraldino, and I've been speaking with film preservationist Serge Bromberg about his traveling show of rare, once-thought-lost film shorts called Saved from the Flame.